Welcome to Sunshine Studios, home of the Steve Piasecki podcast. Dead Stripper is the first book in the Steve Piasecki series, but a word of caution before you continue. Dead Stripper contains explicit content, such as strong language and the depiction of graphic sex and violence, including murder. Therefore, this podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Forewarned is forearmed. And now, into Chapter 12 of Dead Stripper. We'll go with Steve to watch my friend wrestle Crybaby Waldo. Then the guys go out to Pinocchio's for Sicilian pizza, and Jess winds up joining them. Scene 40. That night at 9:06 p.m. Springfield Country Club Auditorium, Springfield, Delaware County. I'm watching my friend wrestle Crybaby Waldo. Crybaby Waldo is a gigantic man who's dressed in pink from head to toe. He's wearing a pink wife beater undershirt, pink tights, pink shoes, and pink socks with pink bows. My friend's wearing a black Speedo. He's muscular, 6 feet tall, and a little over 200 pounds. Crybaby Waldo hoists my friend up in the air and onto his shoulders. Then he extends his arms upward and lifts my friend over his head. And thus begins the classic airplane spin maneuver, with Crybaby Waldo circling the ring and looking for the perfect spot to body slam my friend. The auditorium's full. I'm sitting ringside in the midst of screaming fans. "Slam his ass!" shouts a guy on my right. "No, no, no!" pleads a woman behind me. "He's too pretty!" Crybaby Waldo body slams my friend, and my friend lands with a vicious thud. So vicious, it makes my seat quiver. And now, my friend's laying in the middle of the ring, looking helpless and beaten. And showman that he is, he pretends to writhe in pain with his eyes closed, looking as helpless as a lamb about to be slaughtered. At the same time, and right in front of me, Crybaby Waldo's climbing the ropes in the corner of the ring. I gotta tell you, it's not easy for a man who weighs 350. His weight keeps shifting back and forth, and the ropes keep wobbling uncontrollably. I'm wondering if he's going to make it all the way up to the top or fall down and land on his fat ass. Somehow, seconds later, he's standing erect on the top rope, straddling the turnbuckle. His left foot's planted on the left side of the turnbuckle, and his right foot's planted on the right side. Then he extends his arms outward like a tightrope walker using a balance beam, and he holds that pose for several seconds. Next, he bends his knees and crouches like a baseball catcher, and then he pushes off the top rope with both feet. That maneuver sends 350 pounds of beef flying through the air with no safety net below, and there's no doubt he's going to crash land right on top of my friend. An ominous hush falls over the crowd. My friend knows what's coming, and he also knows when it's coming. He opens his eyes and sees Crybaby Waldo soaring through the air toward him. He makes a face like he's panic-stricken, then rolls out of the way just in the nick of time. Crybaby Waldo belly flops onto the mat and lands so hard that the spectators in the first three rows feel the vibrations. In a flash, my friend rolls Crybaby Waldo onto his back and pins his shoulders to the mat. The referee flops down on his hands and knees and pounds out the count with his right hand. 1, 2, 3. My friend jumps to his feet, and the referee raises my friend's right arm in the air. And just like that, Hitman Bruno wins another match. Then all eyes go straight to Crybaby Waldo. He's still lying in the middle of the ring, but as soon as he sees that all eyes are on him, he rolls over onto his stomach. Then he starts pounding his hands and feet on the mat, starts squealing like a little baby throwing a temper tantrum, and he starts sucking on his thumb. With perfect timing, his manager tosses a giant-sized plastic baby bottle into the ring. Crybaby Waldo picks up the bottle and starts sucking on the giant nipple, and the crowd goes wild with laughter. Scene 41. 2 hours later, Pinocchio's Restaurant, Baltimore Avenue, Media. Four of us are sitting at a table next to the windows in the dining room. Crybaby Waldo and my friend, showered and dressed, are sitting on one side of the table. I'm sitting on the other side with a guy named Joe. He's part of the management team at ECWA. My friend is drinking an Amaretto Sour. Crybaby Waldo and Joe are drinking chilled mugs of draft beer. And I'm drinking a bottle of Tecate, no glass. That's gotta hurt when you land like that, I say to Waldo. It crushes the fucking wind right out of you. It makes it tough to breathe, but you learn fast. You spread out, hit with as much of your body as possible. That's how you spread the impact. Here comes the pizza, Joe says. About fucking time, Crybaby Waldo says. I'm hungry. Yeah. My friend finishes his thought. We know. We heard it a million times. You're hungry enough to eat a horse. The waitress is holding a tray with a large rectangular pizza. It's a large Sicilian, half plain, and half pepperoni. She sets the tray in the middle of the table. Just wave if you need anything else. She smiles and walks away. Crybaby Waldo's digging into the pizza with both hands. One slice loaded with pepperoni goes onto his plate, and another slice goes halfway into his mouth with one push. Joe grabs a plain slice. My friend uses the spatula to politely place a plain slice onto his plate. And I'm awaiting my turn when my cell phone rings. I dig the phone out of my pocket before the third ring. Hello? You busy? Comes Jess's voice. Just having a pizza with the guys. I'd like to get together with them. Love to. When and where? Where are you now? Crybaby Waldo's chewing his pizza like the end of the world's in sight. Joe's chewing like a normal person, but my friend's just sitting there, content to watch me on the phone. At Pinocchio's and Media, I tell Jess. You know where it is? I do. I'll be there soon. And I end the call. Who was that? My friend asked. Girl from the other night. Your rider? Yep. You do Uber too? Crybaby Waldo wipes his mouth with the back of a meaty hand. Yep. The one you nailed? My friend asked. Right. Did I just hear you right? Crybaby Waldo says. You screwed one of your riders? Yep. I start grinning with pride in front of these macho men. How'd that happen? Waldo asks. Then takes a big bite of his pizza. Believe it or not, it's her idea. I was just lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. My man, Waldo says, up high. I reach across the table and we slap hands. What's she look like? Joe asks. See for yourself. She'll be here in a few minutes. Scene 42. 20 minutes later. The Sicilian's gone. I'm on my second bottle of Tecate. Crybaby Waldo and Joe are on their third draft. And my friend's drinking another Amaretto Sour on the rocks. Under ordinary circumstances, they leave as soon as the pizza's gone. But they're curious to see the rider I screwed. The door opens and here she comes. I stand up and wave her over. She starts moving in our direction and she's looking good in form-fitting navy windbreaker and skin-tight grayish leggings. I see you found it all right, I say. I've been here a couple times. She kisses my cheek. One by one, I introduce her to the guys. The booth behind us is vacant, so I pick up my beer, pivot, and place the bottle on the table. Then Jess and I sit across from each other. The waitress comes right over. Would you like a menu? She asks Jess. No thanks, Jess says. Bring me what he's drinking, but I'll take a glass. Okay, the waitress says. Be right back. Wait, Jess says before the waitress gets away. And I'll take a shot of Cuervo. She looks at me. Shot? Why not? Make it two. Two it is, the waitress says, then walks away. I apologize, Jess says. For what? For making you and Margo pretend to be boyfriend and girlfriend like that. It was a bad idea. Glad you remember it was your idea. I admit it. Let's just say it was an experiment that didn't turn out the way I expected. What did you expect? Looking back, I'm not so sure now. But I never expected you two to play your part so well. Guess I should have been an actor. Okay, Mr. Bradley Cooper. Out of curiosity, exactly how well did you play your part? What are you talking about? You two left in quite a rush. Margo said you two got into some sort of argument, you know, because she kissed me. She said you threatened to wring her fucking neck. I did get a little carried away. So she wanted to leave. You left pretty early. Wasn't like we planned to leave early. When exactly did you plan to leave? We never discussed it. I only met her 10 minutes before we got to your place, out in the parking area. We barely got to talk, just a little on the elevator on the way up. We planned to socialize at the party and leave when it was over. Leave and go where? We never discussed. How did you two leave? We got there in two cars and we left in two cars. Did you go your separate ways? Or did you two, you know, go somewhere together? What do you mean? You know exactly what I mean. Did anything happen between you and Margot after you left? Like what? You know, like what happened between you and me. I look away, stalling, wanting the questions to end. Did you fuck her? Obviously, I know the answer, but I'm looking for a way to weasel out of this. I glance over Jess's shoulder and see three faces hanging on our every word. Well, I'm stalling and looking at the guys at the same time. They signal me not to say anything. You did, didn't you? I know you fucked my best friend. I just want to hear you admit it. All three guys are mouthing warnings. I can read their lips. Don't say shit. Keep your mouth shut. Shut the fuck up. Save the bullshit excuses, she says. You're bigger than that. Like I said, I take the blame. But I know you fucked her. So where do we stand now? Where do we stand before? You're the one with the boyfriend. The guys are shaking their heads, still giving me signs to clam up. Jess must see my eyes wandering, so she glances over her shoulder and catches them watching. Excuse me? She waits for them to look away before turning her attention back to me. I thought something quick between us. The waitress arrives carrying our drinks on a tray. She sets the bottle of Tecate in a frosted mug in front of Jess and shots of tequila in front of both of us. Thanks, I tell the waitress. If you need anything, just wave. Now where was I? Jess continues. Oh yeah, I was thinking about you and me and what the future holds. I thought you were in a committed relationship. Really? Did you think I was in a committed relationship when you were fucking me? To me, it seemed like two consenting adults. I glance over Jess's shoulder and see the guys all over me once again. Now they're grinning and giving me the thumbs up. For your information, she says, I dumped Pablo today. And I was hoping that you went, whoa, Jess, stop right there. No way I can fit a serious relationship into my life right now. And I'm telling you, right here and right now, I'm going to do everything in my power to change your mind. Then it's all on you. Forewarned is forearmed. Let's drink to that, she says, and picks up her shot glass. Let's say I drink this shot. Does that imply any sort of obligation or commitment on my part? No strings, she says. I pick up the glass. To many happy days ahead, she says. We tap glasses and throw down the tequila in quick swallows. Jess waves at the waitress. Two more shots, please. That's the end of chapter 12. Join us next time for chapter 13, when Detectives Bishop and Gerber go to Media Station Apartments to meet with the manager and start investigating the circumstances surrounding the death of the dead stripper. Thanks for being with us today.